Well, good morning, Emmanuel. It's getting to feel a lot like Christmas, isn't it? And the gospel reading this morning just reinforces that it's time to just give a special emphasis to the days surrounding the birth of Christ and to talk about, well, this morning especially, angels and the angel Gabriel who came to Mary and announced that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. Gabriel is one of many, many angels mentioned in the Bible. And as I was mentioning during the children's talk, you know, there are angels that are everywhere. There's so many. They could call myriads upon myriads. There's more angels than there are stars in the sky. There's so many, they just flood every room where we are. And we can't see them. But we need to know that even if you're in your home all by yourself today, you're never alone. Because God's there and his angels are there and they protect and serve us and they announce to us, they make God's bidding come true to whatever God says. And the angel Gabriel was on a mission and he was in an invasion upon earth. He came to tell something very special to Mary. I don't know if you believe in the supernatural or not, but if you believe in Christmas, I think you have to, because Christmas is all about the supernatural. Angels coming out of the sky, a virgin birth, so many things happening when the heavens are rent open and singing and praising God come from all the celestial beings. There's more than meets the eye, that's for sure. Have you ever encountered an angel, I wonder? And we're talking to people about this in Bible class the other day. People who had related, they felt that an angel was present. And we do have guardian angels, the Bible says. So it's kind of interesting to talk to children about what they think about angels. And in a recent article, someone did just that. And I just want to read a couple of lines of what they thought about angels. Here's one from Gregory, age 5. I only know the names of two angels, Hark and Herald, all of age 9. Everybody's got it all wrong. Angels don't wear halos anymore. I forgot why, but the scientists are working on it. Here's Matthew, age 9. It's not easy to become an angel. First you die, then you go to heaven, and then there's still the flight training to go through, and then you've got to agree to wear those angel clothes. Mitchell here, age 7, says, angels work for God and watch over kids when God has to go do something else. Henry, age 8, my guardian angel helps me with math, but he's not much good with science. Well, it's funny what kids think, but the Bible actually has a lot to say about angels, and they appear throughout the entire Old Testament. The only thing is, they weren't around for 500 years before the coming of Jesus. God had not spoken for 400 years. And everybody was waiting. And then the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. And it's this. He tells her that she is favored by God and that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son. And he says, you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. And Mary and Joseph were completely mystified. You have to understand, this is a young girl, 13, 14 years of age. And after she gets pregnant, Joseph wonders, what is he going to do? Because they had an arranged marriage, you know, how in some countries, the parents arrange the marriage when the children are very young. This is the case. They already knew they were going to be together. Then when you get to be about 12, 13, they have this period called betrothal. And it'll last 1 year until the wedding. They're officially married, but they haven't come together yet intimately. And it's during this year that the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. And he says to her that she's going to have the baby, Jesus. And this was a lot for Mary to digest. And the angel says he's going to be great. And that's what we'd like to look at this morning. In what way has Jesus become great? The angel said he would be great, and certainly we've come to see that his teaching would be unlike any other teaching we have ever heard, that this man, the Bible says, speaks with authority. No man has ever had the insights or the divine knowledge or the truth from God to the degree and to the extent that Jesus had. And then he did all these miracles. St. John, in his gospel, says that, I imagine if I were to tell you about all the miracles that Jesus did, that this whole book could not contain all the things that he did. He healed the blind and the lame and the palsied, and he stilled the water, and he calmed the storm, and he took out demons from people, and he raised himself from the dead. Wow. Some reasons to call him great. And so this angel comes from heaven. His name is Gabriel, and there are not many angels that we know their names, but Gabriel's one of them. And he was on this divine invasion, the likes of which no one could ever imagine. And his mission was to announce to this young girl that something very stupendous is going to happen. Every woman in the Jewish world would have wanted to be Mary. Every woman was waiting to be the one who would give birth to the coming Messiah. And Gabriel says, you are favored by God. This is the plan for your life. And so this morning we simply ask the question, what made the angel say that Jesus was great? And the first reason is that he is God. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And over in verse 35, it says at the end of the verse, he shall be called the Son of God. And when Luke refers to him as the Most High, it's because the Jewish people saw their God as the one that was above every god. He was the creator of heaven and earth and of all things visible and invisible, and they had a name attached to this God. It was called El Elyon. El Elyon. In Genesis, the 14th chapter, verse 18, he is called God Most High. El Elyon. God, the Supreme One, the Sovereign One, who is above all. And from that first usage of El Elyon, all through the Old Testament, we hear that same phrase again and again and again. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 8, it says, the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance. And Psalm 47 says, the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great king over all the earth. And then in Daniel 4, it says that this is the Most High God who will be the future king of kings, who will be there forever. And so this little baby becomes the sovereign, Most High God. And Jesus, when they say the Son of the Most High God, it means that he's the exact representation of the Father. The Son is just the same as the Father. In Hebrews 1, verse 3, it informs us that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact reproduction of God's nature. When Jesus was on earth, he said as much himself. When people were picking on him and trying to get on his case because he healed people on the Sabbath, do you remember how he answered them? He says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And they wanted to take care of him and crucify him right then and there because he was claiming to be El Elyon. He was claiming to be one with the Father. And Jesus says, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father am one, he says. And so that's why in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, it says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And when the angel came to Joseph to announce to him that he was going, what was going to happen to Mary, and that he shouldn't doubt to take Mary to be his wife, the angel said to Joseph, this child shall be called Emmanuel. That's an interesting name. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. E-L. That's the name for God. That's the El Elyon God. This El Elyon God is the El in Emmanuel, and the Emmanuel means with us. This is God in all of his glory with us. And that's why our Christmas carols pick up the theme, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. God is great. Jesus is great because he is God, but he's also great because he came as a human being. You have to have a human being in order to suffer and to die. Spirits can't do that. He was a human being. In verse 31, it says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. You will conceive in your womb. This woman, this young woman was a virgin. And it tells us in Luke 1:27, it says that Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin? Physically impossible. This is what happened. The Holy Spirit, the Shekinah of God, of the Most High God, descended upon her and created within her womb a fetus that was disconnected from any inherited sin from the parents. Because you see, ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, sin has been like a contagious disease passed on from parent to child. The Bible says we are conceived and born in sin. And a little later on, those sins show themselves. But Jesus was not part of that because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so there was no original sin in him. Of all the Christmas happenings, the one thing that was supernatural was not the birth, but it was the conception. It was the conception that God would place into Mary an embryo, the makings of a child who would be without sin. Everything else was normal. The whole 9 months of labor, the birth, God would become a human being without sin, and this baby would grow up like every other child grew up. Bone development, cardiovascular development, he would become strong. He would increase in favor with God and man, in wisdom, stature. He was a human, just like every other human, yet without sin. Why is that important? So that as a human being, he could become the lamb that was slain. He could become the perfect sacrifice. Do you remember in the Old Testament how they would year after year do sacrifice after sacrifice? Blood would be shed, and they had to do it over and over again, year after year. And with Jesus Christ, he was the perfect unblemished lamb without sin. And because he was God, it was a once-for-all sacrifice for everybody's sin. He had to be human. And that was what was so great about Jesus. He was God, 100% God. He was human, 100% human. And I'm so happy that this is captured in our Christmas carols. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. Holy infant, so tender and mild. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping? He was pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. For Christ is born of Mary, man and God. And thirdly, this wonderful announcement by Gabriel to Mary tells us that not only was Jesus God and man, but he was set apart. He was holy, sinless. Now, mothers, pardon me, but you've never had one of those. You've never had a holy offspring. What you get and what I get are unholy offspring. You just put two children into a room with one toy and you find out how world wars begin. You don't have to teach your child to be selfish. We'd have to teach them how to share. And yet, can you imagine being Mary and having a baby growing up who never had a bad thought, never had a moment of unhappiness, never had a bad attitude or a temper tantrum, never had an unkind or selfish act? Do you wonder why she began to ponder all these things in her heart? As she looked at this little child, day after day, year after year, completely sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21 calls him he who knew no sin. And in Hebrews 7:26 it says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Never in the history of the world, since sin entered it, has there been a human being born like Jesus was born without sin. The Lord Jesus began where we end up. He began his life holy. And we can only say we will end up holy when we're in heaven. And so that's the third thing that's so great about Jesus. He was sinless and holy. And the great music of Christmas picks up on that too. Morning stars together proclaim thy holy birth. Holy infant, so tender and mild. Radiant beams from thy holy face. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. God, man, holy. What's so great about Jesus is that he was also the sovereign Lord. In verse 32, it says, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And in verse 33, he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. You see, not only will he reign here on earth, but someday he will be shown to reign over everything that there is, and every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Now, Jesus should rightfully have been the king of Israel. His legal father, not biological but legal, father Joseph, descended from the line of David. And in Luke chapter 3, we see that his mother Mary also descended from the line of David. He should have been next in line for the throne. But instead, Rome had control of Israel in those days. And they put a man named Herod to be king of the Jews. And he wasn't even a Jew, he was an Edomite. It was a direct fulfillment of the prophecy in 2 Samuel chapter 7, where the prophet Nathan speaks to God to tell David that David will not be allowed to build the temple, but that his son Solomon would build it, but a greater temple would be built. At the end of time, there will become one who will build a temple not made by hands. And you're that temple, and I'm that temple, and Jesus is the capstone of that temple. He is the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords. And that's shown so well in our Christmas carols. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Come and worship, come and worship, come and worship Christ the newborn King. This is no ordinary child. This is God, man, holy, and Lord. And finally, and this is the where it really hits home for us. He's our Savior. Verse 31, it says, you'll bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus, and what? He shall save his people from their sins. You should call him Jesus, and they did. They called him Jesus, and when Jesus was born, they did as was instructed. What a name, Jesus. Joshua, Jehovah saves. Yeshua, Jehovah saves. And I stand back and I admire that name, because if there's anything else that I want to think about, I can only know him if he becomes my Savior. I can say he's God. I can say he's man. I can say he's set apart and holy. I can say he's a sovereign God who is going to be king over all. But is he your Savior? That's the bottom line. And that's why the songs of Christmas come through so beautifully this time of year. They share with us something that isn't brand new. This isn't some fad. This is the well-told story that has stood the test of time from sacred scriptures. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners, what? Reconciled. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. For in this story, we see the greatness of Jesus. The most amazing child ever given to a parent is still amazing. I can only imagine how Mary must have felt when she heard the words from the angel. I can only imagine how amazed she must have been when she found herself pregnant as a virgin. I can only imagine how she must have felt as she spent those months waiting for the birth of that child. I can only imagine how amazed she must have been when on that starry night, alone there by the manger in Bethlehem, she gave birth. I can only imagine how amazed she must have felt as she heard the angels sing and the shepherds come and the wise men give their gifts and worship the Christ child there in the manger. I can only imagine how amazed Mary must have been when she looked to this little child who grew in stature and wisdom and in favor with God and man without sin. I can only imagine how amazed Mary must have been when she was pierced with the thought of Jesus as she stood on the foot of the cross, dying for the sins of the world. I can only imagine how amazed Mary must have been when she was with the 120 and the Spirit of God overshadowed them and they became filled with the Spirit. I can only imagine as she looked at her ascended and risen Lord, the baby in a Bethlehem, her child, the Savior of all mankind, how she must have pondered all of this in her heart. Mary, what did she really know? Let's watch the video and find out.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know?
Let's join in prayer. Oh, Father, we do know the story so well. It's so familiar. And yet we never cease to tell it again with wonder. Thank you for this great revelation, which helps us to clearly understand and unmistakably identify who Jesus Christ is. And as we gather this year and sing these Christmas carols from all the centuries, we're reminded of how clear the message is, how well told the years and years of music coming from all parts of the world and languages, the pondering of in Mary's heart has become a story that has been well told of an amazing child, God, man, sinless, sovereign, Savior, and may we adore him. May we worship him as our Savior and our King. And now this morning we pray too for all who rely on this Savior as healer and comforter. In the confines of our homes, in the anticipation of relief from this virus, in the midst of sorrow and pain, healing and the anticipation of the world to come, we ask your presence upon those who are ill, physically suffering, mentally languishing, spiritually searching. Lift up our hearts, Lord, and answer our prayers. Amen.